Hello and welcome to the University Guy podcast with me, David Hawkins. In this episode, I'm looking at the new maths courses within the IB diploma and how UK universities will be using them for entry in a few years' time. I've been able to speak with people on all sides of this issue. Melanie Morehouse from St Clair School in Oxford, Charlie Pybus from the University of Bristol, and Peter Fidchuk from the IB. First up, here's Mel.
Okay, now I have the opportunity to speak to a counsellor who deals with a lot of international students, but is also working in the UK, so is quite connected to the situation. Mel, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Great. So you mind telling me a little bit about your role and also about the school that you work at?
So I'm head of careers, which in outside the UK would be known as a university counsellor for St Clair's Oxford. So we're an international IB school based in North Oxford. So I have students from just over 50 countries around the world, and they are applying all over the world as well. So it's a very interesting environment. They're all studying international baccalaureate, which obviously gives them a passport to apply to a huge number of places around the world, and many of them are applying in more than one country, so it's quite complex to support them through decisions on subjects and then decisions on application processes and then their final decisions as well.
Great.
Very rewardingly.
Yeah, it's a fantastic school. I've been lucky enough to visit and you do an amazing job. In the context of that, a lot of the students who obviously come into St Clair's are coming because of, you know, it's in Oxford and the reputation academically, and they are looking towards the UK as potentially a destination for them for college. In the context specifically of what I'd like to talk to you about, of the new IB maths curriculums, what information are you getting from universities to help you understand the changes of how that curriculum is going to fit into university entrance?
So I have to say, I don't think anybody has a completely clear picture yet. So the information we're getting from universities is that they are still reviewing, and actually I think the first couple of years there'll be more flexibility than there might be later on, and certainly they're reviewing the IB maths curriculum changes kind of in the context of the changes that are happening in the A-level curriculum, which are actually probably bigger and more far-reaching. Very broadly, what seems to be coming out, and a couple of them have been helpful enough to put things on the website, is if they are a course that's currently asking further maths and further maths, then it's likely to be the analysis and approaches that they're asking for. So pure maths courses, maybe pure physics courses, those kind of areas. Where it's a course that asks for maths currently, but maybe for IB is flexible about whether it's a high grade at standard level or a lower grade at higher level, or it's the social sciences, so things like economics, there appears to be, or the information coming out is that actually there will be much more flexibility about accepting both of the higher level programmes. And actually, you know, some universities like Imperial have been very helpful and are putting this on their websites already. I know Bath have made information available as well. Actually, the cloudier area is in terms of those courses where currently they require maths standard and don't accept maths studies. We're getting very little information about the two streams at standard level and whether they'll now accept both streams or whether they'll have a preference for one or the other. So it is very much still a process of trying to talk to universities individually, but I think we're all going to be kind of navigating with flexibility for the first year at least.
That sounds great. And you know, obviously the context of being an IB school in the UK gives you some sort of added access to people. For colleagues listening to this around the world who don't, you know, have maybe the same depth of understanding of UK admissions, or for time zone reasons don't find it as easy to contact a UK university, what kind of things would you suggest they're doing if they are, you know, unclear about where to go next? Should they contact universities? Should they reach out to on social media or something else?
I'd certainly start by actually just checking on websites. So the information is starting to be published by universities. Second point of contact would certainly be the international admissions person who's responsible for your country or region at the university. And they are generally very helpful, even if the email comes back as we don't entirely have decisions yet.
Right.
I think there is also a certain amount of common sense that you can apply. So if you look at the curriculum of the analysis and approaches stream and you look at the curriculum of the applications and interpretation, there is a reasonable amount of common sense in terms of the concepts of maths that are being learnt in those and the concepts that, of maths that are then required in the university courses. So I think it's unlikely that a social sciences degree is going to insist on having analysis and approaches when actually the statistical section, which is the most important for most social science and quantitative courses, is covered very thoroughly and to almost the same depth in the applications and interpretation course. Equally, if you're applying for a pure mathematics course, then it's common sense actually realistically are going to need the analysis and approaches. I think engineering will be happy for both. The other message that I suppose is coming out is, if in doubt, everywhere will accept analysis and approaches.
Right, that's so good advice.
So really, if in doubt, go that way, but that's not going to be right for every student. And it is about making sure that students are on the right programme to enable them to be successful and enjoy it and you know, then head on further into an area where it's the maths that they're interested in.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'm interested in the advice actually that you're giving to your students, particularly, you know, incoming students who are going to come to St Clair's to do the diploma. How are you dealing with them and with parents who are, you know, asking these issues, and indeed they may not be aware that the IB maths is changing? How are you guiding them about the choices that they're going to be making when they start the course coming up in September?
Yeah, so actually there isn't much of an awareness among parents. It's very much us educating them. As a college, I think it's still being finalised, but it looks like the decision is going to be that actually, because there is a common core across all four streams, students will all start just in maths. And there may be a conversation about whether it's a higher level or standard level maths, which actually is not dissimilar to conversations we already have. But in terms of the streams, that's going to be far more a discussion of when they're in their classes, working with their maths teachers, talking to us about career destination or, you know, university aspirations over the first, definitely half term, potentially even term, before we split them down. And actually, when the IB have presented on the maths, on the new curriculum, there is very much a sense that that's almost part of the design, that is that there is this common core, so that for schools who have the resources, it is possible to certainly co-teach it to start with, to give students the chance to experience the different streams, to give teachers the chance, who are the experts on the different types of maths in them, to help students make the decision for the one that's best suited to their talents and their interest in maths. And to give us more time, because, and I'm sure other schools around the world have this issue, maths is probably the thing that most frequently students want to change after they've started a programme, whether it's moving, you know, moving levels particularly. So actually we're seeing this as an opportunity for actually that decision to be taken at a slightly later point and not based purely on, you know, an admissions test and the vast inconsistent array of previous studies that students come with, but actually on far more experience and data with the student. And for us, the decision will be after they've had a chance to attend a higher education fair, after they've had careers education lessons where we're looking at how to research and where we can cover some of this information with them, so that we're aiming to put them in a really informed decision about which one will suit them, but a little bit later than they start. Now, I appreciate that is not possible for everyone. So I think if I was talking to students in a school where co-teaching isn't an option to start with, then I would, I think, very much be taking the approach of looking at the curriculum and working with the student to look at where their strengths in their previous math studies are, to think about which of the curriculums best suit their interests, and then looking at their university aspirations, and looking at which level of maths is going to match the type of courses that they're looking for, which is a really fluffy answer, but it's about as much as we've got at the moment.
Well, I think, and the reason I want to chat with you, Mel, is someone who's at a big IB school in the UK, if you're used to saying, you know, it's a fluffy answer and this is my the best I can do, I think would be very reassuring to colleagues around the world, going, well, if this is what St Clair's Oxford are having to do, it's fine for us to have the same kind of approach.
Yeah, and I think certainly when I've had informal conversations with the university's admissions over the last year, they're also taking a very much approach that I suspect the first year will be more flexible. And if they've not been publishing hard information about exactly which stream they would take, they, you know, there is, I think there will be more flexibility, certainly in the first year or so. That I'm sure will change as they see students come through with the new syllabus and see their strengths and how they cope on the university curriculum. But I don't think there's a desire to penalise students for not having made a clear choice here when the information isn't coming out clearly from universities yet.
That's great to hear. Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Mel. For colleagues who do maybe want to reach out to you and find a bit more information, I know you're active on the International ACAC Facebook group, but how else could someone get hold of you? And you have a Twitter feed as well?
We do. So the St Clair's Careers has a Twitter feed. We also have a WordPress blog, which you can find if you look for St Clair's Careers. My contact details are on the website, although you're also welcome to email me directly. It's melanie.morehouse, M-O-R-H-O-U-S-E, at stclares.ac.uk, which is S-T-C-L-A-R-E-S. Or sadly, if you Google me, my name's unusual enough, I do come up.
That's great. Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Mel.
As the counsellor at a big IB school based here in the UK, Mel's insight here is really helpful, and she makes some great suggestions. Next up, I got the viewpoint from Charlie Pybus, Head of International Student Recruitment at the University of Bristol.
Hi, so I'm Charlie Pybus, Head of International Student Recruitment at the University of Bristol. University of Bristol is Russell Group University, one of the older universities, I guess, in England. And we have about 24,000 students and a sort of, tend to be reasonably selective in terms of our admissions processes. We've just gone through a process of looking at the IB curriculum.
Right. So the key issue then, Charlie, that we're trying to focus on here is, for students, parents and counsellors advising kids about to start the IB programme, what are you going to be doing with the new IB maths options when students are starting to select the university courses?
So for us, where we ask for an A-level in our normal entry requirements, we're going to be accepting both curriculums for the new IB maths. So it doesn't matter even if students are applying for maths, because I know that for other institutions that's the one where they have a preferred option, but for us there is no preferred option.
Okay, and that was, how does that work out with higher levels and standard levels then?
So, obviously, where we're asking for an A-level, we will be expecting to see higher level. Where it's a GCSE and a student doesn't have that, or where we're only looking for an AS level, then we'd be looking for the standard level.
Great, so University of Bristol is going to be, in effect, sort of translating the British model into the IB model, yeah?
Yeah. So we don't mind which course students take. And our view was that the core of the courses is the same, and that we felt that either of them would prepare students even for something like maths, which was the one that we were perhaps most concerned about when we first started this process.
Great, fantastic. Thank you. And just to ask you to kind of sort of take a slightly wider view, Charlie, and obviously not, you can't comment on universities other than Bristol, but you have worked at other universities and you're quite clued up in the sector. Is it fair to say that different universities are coming up with different variations on this, and that actually Bristol's policy won't be the same across the whole sector?
Absolutely, yeah. I know my wife works at BAP and I know that they have a different policy, for example, and I'm sure that that we're aware of those that have already announced their policy, that there is a little bit of variation, but doesn't seem to have any kind of relationship to how selective institutions are. I know there's some highly selective institutions, perhaps even more selective than we are, who are looking at both, but other institutions who I would think that in many cases we might be more selective than, who have been who specify which of these that they prefer, particularly for things like mathematics.
Great, and I guess that's because you've all got to go back to different academics, they would look at the content, and just because a physics department or an economics department at one university thinks this, it doesn't mean that the same department is going to think the same somewhere else.
Yeah, so all of our discipline areas where they ask for maths as one of their sort of key subjects that they're looking for at higher level or at A-level, the UK equivalent, they each made their own decision, but have all come to the same conclusion that for our programmes it will be acceptable.
To tie all of this together, I now spoke with Peter Fidchuk. Peter's job is to liaise with universities in the UK and Ireland on behalf of the IB, a And in particular, he speaks with them about changes to IB qualifications. He's been doing sterling work helping these universities to understand the changes in IB maths.
Okay, so let's have a chat about the IB maths then. Something that's, for those in the middle of it, I think is probably having a little panic because it's new and it's changing, it's new labels and those kind of things. We've had a chat with a counsellor in the UK about this and a university in the UK about this. Obviously, you are in the midst of this process. Do you mind just giving a little kind of history of what you, as the man responsible for this, have been doing in educating UK universities about the new IB maths programmes?
Okay, so we're moving in maths from a situation that's been unchanged, I've got to say, for as long as I have been involved with the IB. I first started teaching IB in 1996, and at that point we had maths higher level, maths further maths, maths, what was maths standard level, but what was called maths methods, and mathematical studies standard level. And since then, nothing's changed. In all our other subjects, there's been significant movement as the subjects have been reviewed, brought up to date. The assessment structures have been reviewed and made as valid and as reliable as possible. But I've got to say, the math situation has not really done anything. And we know over many years there have been two significant problems with maths. One is that high-level maths has proved challenging. Second one is that mathematical studies has been misunderstood by some of our universities as to the quality of math that is actually delivered and the quality of math. Therefore, that it is learnt by our students. So I think the revision that we have is welcome, I think, from two respects. One is that it's going to remove mathematical studies as a name, and simply we're going to have Maths SL, but in two varieties. The second one is that we're going to have an alternative higher level now. So previously, the only higher level that students could do was the Maths higher level, which is a, or you might say, geeky pure maths course, very suited to our students who are going to be going on to do things which involve manipulation of maths for the sake of manipulation of maths. But God's sake, in the real world, most maths is done outside maths departments, and it's done as a, you know, a truly facilitating subject. I know the Rosser Group universities use this idea of a facilitating subject in a wider context, but actually mathematics is the ultimate facilitating subject, because what it allows our students to do is to interpret and apply knowledge, and that's really the way it's done. You know, I used to be a chemist. We used to use a lot of math, but it was a very practical sort of math that was going to get us an answer. So what IB have done is introduce a second higher level which caters for that, and it's one where we're going to call it applications and interpretation, where it's how do you use math to understand other subjects. You know, so what are the types of mathematical methods that you have to learn to enable that to happen effectively? So it's one where we are really preparing our students to be preparing students to use maths in a facilitating way. So I don't think there's anything being scared. I think what it allows is two different types of maths to be on offer. The one still at the analysis pathway, which will be the geeky pure maths pathway for people who are really interested in going on to mess about with maths for the sake of messing about with maths. But then again, we have got the applications pathway, which will be, yes, we need maths because maths is a really important tool, and that's going to be where we can use it in a concrete way, use technology where we can. Both of our courses use technology in terms of a graphic display calculator, but in the applications pathway, the assessment is going to be with that all the way through, whereas in the analysis pathway, there's going to be a non-calculator paper. So I think it's... again, the math pathway that students would choose at a higher level will depend on what a student might want to do at university. Now, what universities are saying about this is in a state of flux at the moment, because
it's
new to them. So they're, one, getting an understanding of what's going to be in these new specifications. They haven't got the same sort of issue with A-levels, because you just do one A-level.
Yeah.
But so they're having to think, well, what might our position be? And as a result, the current situation is of the universities that have stated a position, they've taken a number of approaches. Now, where we will be in 2 years' time when the first set of maths results come out, because the first assessment will take place in 2021, I think we'll be in a different place, because what universities do is they benchmark against each other. So the initial position is always going to be a bit confused, because universities are going to make statements without knowing what other universities said and knowing what the consensus view is. And then I think it will shake out. So at the moment, we've got some universities that are saying, well, actually, for some subjects, we prefer analysis, whereas other universities are saying, well, we will take analysis or applications. We don't mind which pathway you take. But I've got to say that the overwhelming response I've had back from universities has been, we don't want to disadvantage any applicants because of what their school may have chosen for them. So we know they know schools are under pressure in terms of staffing, in terms of the ability to provide multiple courses. So their line is, well, we don't want disadvantaged students. We would recommend this particular course, but actually, if students haven't done that course at higher level, then we'll be prepared to consider them if they've done the other course. So I think we're early days here. I would hope that by the end of this summer, the position will be very much firmer. And at the moment, we've had a university college report, and university college's attitude has been, we will take either pathway at a higher level where we require A-level maths.
Right.
Where a university requires A-level maths and further maths, that's a different matter. I think what's going to shake out there is they're going to require maths analysis higher level. Simply because that's the sort of course it is. It's one where mathematical manipulation and understanding of mathematical concepts at the highest level is intrinsic to the course. But I think if a course just has an A-level maths requirement, then I think both pathways will, in the end, be accepted by most universities, if not all.
Great. You kind of to put some flesh on this in terms of what you're doing, and you and I have discussed that you are into universities, talking to them, also engaging with maths teachers. I guess what we would expect to happen is not just, as you say, the benchmarking over the couple of years, but as universities get data on the graduate outcomes of their students. So IB students studying the new curriculum for the next 2 years, then going through the universities and then seeing where there may be gaps, may there may be successes, and then having enough data. It may take 7-8 years or so before universities are actually completely having enough students who've come through the new maths curriculum to then really fundamentally say, we now know exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be quite so pessimistic. I think I'd be inclined to think that actually, because if we stick just to high level maths, if the two high level maths contain the same five areas of maths. They contain trigonometry and geometry, a probability, calculus, functions, and algebra. They just do it in different proportions. So actually, when it comes to the core type of maths that a student needs, it's the same in both courses. So I think that it will happen quicker than 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
I'm not sure, actually, universities will go back and have a look at the outcomes of students with different types of maths, because there are other variables out there.
Nice.
We're in a situation where A-level maths has changed, and actually this year we have the first outcome in terms of the reformed A-levels in the UK. And I think because that represents such a huge group of students, the outcomes there might have a bearing. So we're sort of in a situation where around us the environment in maths is changing anyhow. So I'd be confident, I think, that universities will have made up their minds a lot quicker. I think that the new applications pathway really represents a real opportunity for a wider group of students to access high-level maths and get a good grade at it.
Right.
Because I think the type of maths there is a type of maths that they're going to be using in other subjects.
Good.
Whereas I think a lot of the stuff that you're using in analysis and indeed in any type of pure maths, it is very related to just what you're doing in that subject. except if you're going into, you know, maybe a related subject, you know, something like physics, or indeed very high-end economics. But in most subjects, the sort of maths that you're going to be using is going to be the maths that's going to be in applications.
Perfect, ideal. So last question, just the focus, I guess, we've been talking about is students and counsellors applying. We may also have listeners who are working in recruitment or admissions for a UK university who are potentially kind of aware of this, but they don't get a lot of IB applicants, or, and maybe would like to get more IB applicants. How do they go about working out this, getting hold of the subject briefs and understanding how they should be doing it? This is a process that you're happy to support them with?
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to the question I didn't answer, partly the last one, which was, yeah, I spend a lot of my time going to universities, speaking to universities about our qualifications, and the focus has been for the last year and a half reformed maths qualifications, as well as the changes that have taken place in Language B and the changes that have taken place in Language A. But actually, you know, the maths have been the most important change because of the radical redevelopment of the course. So I go to have individual chats with universities. I speak to admissions departments as a whole. I also speak at conferences where we have groups of universities. So one of the major occasions that we have is that the universities have an annual conference for admissions officers. It takes place in April, and for the last few years I've been speaking at that conference about our changes and actually disseminating information about them. So we try to get out for as many methods as possible. So we try to get the information out to universities through their own networks. So, for instance, we've had a mailing to all our universities through the Higher Education Liaison Officers Association, which represents over 12,000 admissions and recruitment officers. So, you know, it's trying to kind of get to universities through any channel that we have. But of course, if any universities are listening to this and would like to know more about our courses are available as what we call subject briefs on our public website, ibo.org. So if you type in diploma subject briefs into the search facility, you'll find them. But if any universities would like the full specifications, then currently we do not have those available on our public website, but if anyone would like to get in contact with me or again go through IB Answers, I'm very happy to send them on.
A big thanks to Mel, Charlie and Peter for speaking with me and sharing their wisdom so freely about the changes and the impact of those changes in IB Maths. That's it for this episode of The University Guy. Please like, review and subscribe in the normal ways. And if you have any questions, please get in touch with me via www.theuniversityguide.com. Thanks for listening.